start with that course.
Okay. Let's pray. Lord, may you be with us now. As always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. Do speak to us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Things are what they are. I know that's terribly profound, but they are what they are, not what we think, feel, or want them to be. Abraham Lincoln was once asked, how many legs does a cow have if you call the tail a leg? And he says, four. Doesn't matter what you call the tail, it's still a tail. Things are what they are. We in our society, we like to dress up things and call them by a different name or call them different than what they are. But things still are what they are. As my parents used to say, you can put a dress on a pig, but it's still a pig. Things are what they are, period. With that said, the longer I live, the less I am amazed at man's ability and inclination to see things the way they think, feel, or want them to be, rather than see them the way they really are. And of course, we all do this from time to time. I do it, you do it, we all do it from time to time. So let's talk about Jesus. Do people, including you and I, see Jesus as he really is, or as we think, feel, or want him to be? Let's look at our Advent text. We've been looking at this for, this is now the second week, and we'll look at it for two more. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We are focusing this week on the second title, Mighty God. Do people view Jesus as a mighty God? The term mighty God in the Hebrew is El Gabor. The phrase, the word El, the first one, can refer to a God or the God, and it kind of emphasizes above other things, on high. The Hebrew word Gabor can be translated as strong, mighty, manly, vigorous, heroic. Typically, it refers to a warrior, a champion of arms, a man of valor. Put those two together then. Isaiah prophesied that the Son, the Messiah, would be one, divine, and two, a mighty warrior. You and I are used to thinking of Jesus as divine. In his day, they struggle with that. On the other hand, in his day, they viewed the Messiah to come, as a mighty warrior. We sometimes struggle with that one. We don't often think of Jesus as a mighty warrior, do we? And true, when Jesus came the first time, he submitted to the evil that man did to him, and he gave himself to the cross. But when he returns, he will wage war against all those who fail to submit to him. First time he came as the Lamb of God. When he returns, he'll return as the Lion of Judah. And all who oppose him will be promptly and utterly destroyed. Again, do we think of Jesus in those terms? Revelation 19:11 through 14 is one of the passages that talk about his return. And John said in those verses, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses." That's pretty graphic when you stop and think about it. Jesus, when he comes, he will make war. Mighty warrior. His eyes will be flames of fire. His robe will be dripped in blood. And the armies of heaven will be following him. Do you understand how fierce our Lord is? Our mighty God, Jesus Christ? And how fiercely he will wage war when he returns? We don't often think of Jesus in those terms. But consider just this one fact. On the day when Christ returns, and now I'm using the day as is often used to refer that period that immediately precedes his coming and his coming itself. On the day that Christ returns, according to Revelation 14:20, he will war against the nations, and specifically those who are warring against his people. And the slaughter will be so great, according to Revelation 14:20, that the blood will flow as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia, or 180 miles. The slaughter will be so great that there will be a river of blood 4 to 5 feet high, and it will flow for 180 miles, or basically from Eau Claire to Platteville. And it says the blood will flow. So it's not just that there'll be this long pool of blood, but it will flow, meaning that there'll be more and more that still follows, that still comes. Let me press the issue. The average person has between 8 to 12 pints of blood in their body. How many bodies does it take to create a river 4 to 5 feet deep and 180 miles long? If you can visualize that, that ought to make your stomach turn. Are you beginning to see Jesus in a little bit different light? Like I said, people tend to see things, including Jesus, the way they think, feel, or want to see them. Let's think about some of the ways that people see Jesus. Some people see Jesus essentially as a person to be talked about, an interesting topic of conversation. Like a sports figure or a politician or a historical figure. These people, they tend to know the scriptures inside and out and to be well-versed in theology. They can quote scripture to you better than I can myself. And they like to banter about theology. They love to banter about such things as predestination versus free will or pre-tribulation versus pre-judgment. Rapture, or the judgment seat of Christ versus the judgment seat of the Father, and so on and so on and so on. But though they know a lot about Jesus, they don't know him, really. They don't really know him at all. He's just a topic of conversation that they like to talk about. Is that all Jesus is? Our mighty God? Our mighty warrior, is that all he is a topic of conversation? He's like a tiger running around in your house. If you've got a tiger running around your house, you're going to talk about it, but you're going to do something about it as well. You're going to deal with the situation one way or the other. When we understand who Jesus is, you can't just talk about him. You have to do something about him one way or the other. And frankly, he won't have it any other way. He's not just a topic of conversation. He's a mighty warrior. Other people essentially see Jesus as a genie in a lamp. He is supposed to make his children happy and comfortable and give them a fair amount of what they ask for. And if by chance Jesus deviates from this script, they're mystified and they get a little bit angry with Jesus. They think life is all about them, not all about God. And frankly, because of how my generation and the generations who have followed, frankly, because of the way most of us, many of us, have raised our children, there are several generations who have grown up thinking that life is all about them. All about them. What did Jesus, our mighty God, say? He said in Matthew 10:38, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Jesus said, life is not about getting, it's about serving. And he calls us not just to be his friend, his buddy, his pal, but to be his servant. No, to be his slave. And he says, if we're not willing to take up our cross, just like he took up a cross, we're not worthy of him. That doesn't sound like a spineless genie, does it? That sounds like a mighty warrior. Still other people see Jesus, and this is so common, still other people see Jesus essentially as a Labrador dog. Labrador dogs, they tend to love everyone, don't they? I always said that if you came to rob our house in the past when we had one of our Labrador mixes, she would have wagged her tail into your presence and said, I love you, and then she would have helped you rob us blind because she loved everyone. These people think that Jesus is okay with everyone and that he easily tolerates our sin. They say things like, I don't believe in hell because Jesus would never send anyone to hell. And they don't want to hear about sin and judgment. They won't use those terms. They refuse to use those terms. And if you use them, they get a little bit irate with you. And they're convinced that everyone, or just about everyone, will ultimately be saved, despite what the scriptures say. Jesus isn't a Labrador puppy. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our mighty God. And yes, he's incredibly long-suffering and gracious, but in the end, he always deals with rebellion. Always. And not deciding is a way of deciding. And so Jesus said in Revelation 3:16 that even those who refuse to make up their mind for or against him, even they will be judged, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, because you're sitting on the fence and won't make a decision. You don't decide for me. In essence, you're deciding against me. If you don't decide for me, I will spit you out of my mouth. Again, that doesn't sound like a Labrador puppy to me. That sounds like a mighty warrior. We could cite other examples, but let's just leave it at that. And as I said, we all tend to do this. We all tend to see Jesus the way we think or feel or want him to be to some degree, as compared to the way he really is. I have my moments. I have my moments when I picture Jesus looking down from heaven at me and just kind of moaning, "Bob, Bob, Bob. I love you, but what am I going to do with you? I'm so disappointed." I do. I confess. That's sometimes how I picture Christ. Is that an accurate picture? Of course not. Of course not. But think for a moment. How do you sometimes see Jesus? I challenge you to think about that this week. How do you sometimes see Jesus? And is that how he really is? How do you see him? And is that how he really is? Now, to be sure, when we try to see Jesus as he really is, this side of the grave, this side of his return, we are always going to struggle. We can never see Christ as clearly as we might want to. We can never see him totally as he is because we see now through a glass darkly. But some people don't even try to see Christ as he really is. They're content with the caricatures. And that's the real issue. Always, always, always try to see Christ a little bit more clearly than you do. So once again, we tend to see Jesus as we think, feel, or want him to be. But aren't you glad he is the way he is? And aren't you glad that he is a mighty warrior, the mighty God? Honestly, don't you want Jesus to be awesome? Don't you want him to be epic? A champion? And yes, honestly, don't you want Jesus to be even a little bit frightening? I do. At the end of the day, who do you want in your corner? I don't want a topic of conversation in my corner, or a genie in a lamp, or a Labrador puppy in my corner. I want a mighty warrior, someone who, as it says in John 16:33, has overcome the world. I want a mighty warrior in my corner, Galatians 5:24, someone who has crucified my flesh. A mighty warrior, Colossians 2:15, someone who has disarmed Satan and will one day, Revelation 20:10, one day cast Satan into the eternal lake of fire. That's who I want in my corner. Who do you want in your corner? Furthermore, you and I were created to give ourselves to something greater than ourselves. Billy Graham said, and I think he nailed it, he said, the smallest package I ever have ever seen is someone wrapped up in himself. We were created to give ourselves to something, to a cause, to a person, something greater than ourselves. That's the way we were created. And when we do this, life works best and we are also happiest. To what or to whom do you want to give yourself to? A topic of conversation? A genie in a lamp? A Labrador puppy? Or to our mighty God, as it says in our text? Conversations are something we have. A genie in a lamp is something we control. A Labrador seeks our approval. I don't want to give myself to something that I have, or something I can control, or something that seeks my approval. I want to give myself to something greater, infinitely greater than all of those. I want to give myself to the mighty God and him alone. And finally, aren't you glad that one day our mighty God will return to establish his kingdom here on earth? When I think about what is to come, my stomach churns. There was a time in my idealistic youth when I thought it'd be so cool to live in the last days, and I hope I am. Oh, it'd be so cool. Not anymore. I often pray, Lord, may those days not be in my lifetime or my children's or my grandchildren's days, because the slaughter will be horrific. A river of blood, 4 or 5 feet deep, 180 miles long. But with that said, it is right and proper that rebel man should be brought to heel, and that they should be made to do so. Jesus said in John 8:58, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And he is obviously quoting what God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, when Moses said, what is your name? And God said, I am. That is my name, I am. Who's man? Who is man? To think that he can rebel against the great I am, honestly, who's man? The mere thought of man's impudence makes me, and I'm not God, the mere thought of man's impudence and my own impudence makes me sick. Who am I? Who are we? Who is man? To thumb their nose at God and more or less say whatever. Jesus is who he is, not who we tend to think, feel, or want him to be. And that's not just a comment on you and me, that's good news. That's good news. Who do you want in your corner? I want the mighty God in my corner. To who or to what do you want to give yourself? I want to give myself to the mighty God. Who do you want to be exalted above all? I want Jesus Christ to be exalted above all, the mighty God. That's the way it should be. So once again, there's more to Jesus than meets the eye. The world looks at the manger and sees the cuddly little baby Jesus and hears us rave about him, and the world says, whatever. The world looks at the grown-up Jesus, the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount and the one who said, love your neighbor as yourself, and so on and so forth, and they say, whatever. But they ignore the other part of Jesus. The one who said, the way is wide to hell and the way to the heaven is narrow and few there are who find it. Or the one who says in Matthew 25 that at the end I'm going to separate the goat from the sheep. And to the one I'll say, enter into my kingdom, and to the other I'll say, depart from me. And then they'll be cast into a lake of fire. I can think of a lot of words to describe Jesus. Like, wow. Or, oh. Or, oh no, but whatever, whatever. How do you say whatever when you really understand that Jesus is the mighty God, a mighty warrior, and that one day he will judge the earth? Whatever in reference to Jesus Christ? Again, our Advent theme. Behold Jesus as he is, as he really is. And then go and tell. Point others to Jesus Christ. Point others to Jesus Christ. Lord, there will be a day when no one will say whatever in reference to you. There will be a day when you will return, and you will return as the mighty God, the mighty warrior. And on the one hand, you will establish justice here on earth. You will cause nations to live at peace with each other. You will cause the righteous to shine. On the other hand, you will punish the wicked, the rebels, those who have rejected you. There's nothing whatever about that. I praise you, Lord, that you are a mighty God. And I'll just speak for myself. So often I see you as something a lot less than that. Help me. Help me to get a better view of who you are. Your glory, your magnificence. Your, yes, even your fierceness. Help me to get a more balanced and better view of who you are. In your name, amen.